Hi, I'm Jules from Riddle Me That True Crime. I have a passion for all things crime and psychology, and I have a PhD in transpersonal counseling, so I love research and I like to do deep dives into cases. I recently did a three-part series on the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. I promise you, this is coverage that you haven't heard anywhere else. I also do cases that are lesser known, such as the case of Keith Warren, who in 1986 was found hanging from a tree in Silver Spring, Maryland. His death was classified as a suicide, but things don't add up in the case. Keith was found wearing clothes that weren't his. The 911 caller said that someone had committed suicide in her boyfriend's basement. And when emergency services arrived, the body was in the woods and not in the basement. Keith's mother, Mary, would receive a manila envelope that would call the suicide conclusion by police into question. There were copies of police photos and a note that predicted the death of Keith's friend, Mark Finley. Mark Finley calls Mary to unburden himself, but he would never get the chance. Before he gets a chance to meet up with Mary, he is killed in a freak accident, though some believe it was murder. 2020 is a strange year, and it is comforting to have a favorite podcast to keep you company. I would love to be that podcast. Subscribe to Riddle Me That True Crime on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
True Consequences is a proud member of the Borellis Podcasters Guild.
The Oracle Network.
Look deeper.
True Consequences is a true crime and mystery podcast with stories based in New Mexico and the American Desert Southwest. I'm your host, Eric Carter Bondine.
What's up, Lydia?
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Oh, not much. We are just back here again to re-record this episode because I screwed up the last one.
Yep.
So,
second verse, same as the first.
A little bit louder and a lot worse.
Oh.
I'm really happy to be here with you in the beautiful Borellis Podcaster studio.
Yes, what the magical guild you have created.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
I think it's amazing. I think it's really cool. I feel so professional, ooh, which is very rare for me,
Yeah, it is rare for you.
It is.
Yeah, this is a really cool space, and I'm excited to be a part of this whole thing. Starting something from the ground up is terrifying, but also exciting.
Exhilarating?
Mm-hmm.
Like a roller coaster,
right,
for nudes.
Nudes, huh? Okay. I don't know about that. We're not accepting nudes, so please don't DM me.
That's fine. I'm a never nude. I wear jean shorts in the shower.
Oh, I love that. I love that show so much. Definitely one of my favorites. All right. So today I want to talk about one of the most famous crime stories in New Mexico and even American history.
Yep.
Today I'm going to take you back in time to the old Wild West. So this story has been told and retold forever. And there's even been several movies made about it, documentaries, TV shows, and books which tell the story of Billy the Kid. Do you know who that is?
I do. He is well known in New Mexico.
As Emilio Estevez.
Emilio! Emilio's probably more famous.
Right.
No, he's not.
No.
No.
Don't sue us, Emilio. He shows up with Martin Sheen and they're just real
oh,
mad.
Oh, no. That would just decline very rapidly. Martin Sheen and Charlie Sheen show up.
Oh, God. Don't do it. Billy the Kid was one of the most notorious outlaws in the 1800s, and his story has been sensationalized and completely blown out of proportion. So I'm going to try to tell you the story as close to the truth as I can determine. But this version of Billy the Kid isn't as exciting or sexy as many listeners are used to, so I apologize for that in advance.
Yeah, much more tuberculosis involved.
Way more than I thought, yeah, honestly.
A lot of bloody coughing.
Yeah, sadness and orphanages.
Yep.
Yeah. His story, like I said, has created this kind of mythos, urban legend around his life. And there's a good chance that some of the facts I found aren't exact, but like it'd be pretty hard to know exactly what happened because we weren't there.
Wait, what?
I mean, I wasn't born yet. You might have been. I don't know how old you are.
I am a vampire.
But I'm going to do my very best. So are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's get into the less sexy version of the story of Billy the Kid. Henry McCarty. McCarty?
McCarty.
McCarty.
McCarty. McCarty, my lad.
Was born on November 23rd, according to some, in 1859 in the bustling metropolis of New York City. He was raised in the slums in Hell's Kitchen with his mother and father, and it's believed that he took the now famous alias of William H. Bonney by using the name of his mom's boyfriend and her maiden name. So, totally made up name. Is that like that thing where the name of your street and your first pet is your name? Is that like the same thing?
Like, oh, yeah, like that's your stripper
like,
name?
Like William Bonney's his stripper name?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess they could have had better.
Yeah.
Better name.
What would be your stripper name?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. So my first, it's the first pet is the first name?
Yes.
And the street name is the last name?
Yes.
Fatso Harold.
Mine would be Big Ears Chaparral.
That one definitely sounds very porny.
It sounds horrible. Is what it sounds like. Also, Big Ears was the town bicycle. She had lots and lots and lots of litters of dogs from all the neighborhood dogs.
Oh, wait. I forgot we're still talking about an animal here. I'm like, that's so sexist.
You're like, what are you talking about, Eric? I think when we had her, she probably had like 7 litters.
Those dogs are probably still running around on the ditch mm-hmm. bank down in Socorro, oh, like yeah. many generations later.
That's hilarious.
Hey, related to Big Ears, she was a slut.
All right, this young man would soon be known as one of the most legendary and mysterious figures of the Wild Wild West. Cue Will Smith. No?
Yeah.
Okay. He would grow up to be known as Billy the Kid, who has been the lore of all these crazy tales, but his story's not all that's been presented in movies. It seems that his persona was kind of blown up and created to be this larger-than-life person over the decades, which has been pretty much mostly made up, because those versions of the story are definitely more interesting than his actual story, but he still did have a pretty interesting life. Like I said, he was raised in Hell's Kitchen, and back then it was really a bad area of Manhattan. Now it's super fancy town. It's actually really expensive to live there, and they have all these cool boutique restaurants. Billy's bio dad passed away or disappeared, depending on who you ask. So he either abandoned them or he died.
I think he abandoned them.
Because it's more dramatic?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, death is pretty dramatic too, depending on how he died. Billy was a young boy when this happened, and there are conflicting reports. It isn't really clear what happened to his father, but it is clear that Billy was no longer involved in his dad's life. So his mom took him and his brother to Indiana and eventually to Kansas around 1865.
And obviously they were like, oh, it sucks here.
Yeah, so we're going to go to New Mexico.
That place seems way cooler.
It is way cooler.
It is.
No offense, Kansas or Indiana. So his mom and his brother and him moved to New Mexico, and then Billy's mom passed away shortly after that, after a long battle with a lung disease. It's not clear. Some people say it's tuberculosis. Some say it was cancer. Either way, she died from something with her lungs. So
I'm going to go with tuberculosis.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense that they would have come out here for that. A lot of people, they called them lungers, lungers at the time. If you were afflicted with TB, people came out to the Southwest to be in the arid climate. It was thought to potentially heal you or at least make you more comfortable.
And it didn't.
It did not. No.
Actually, I think the elevation was really bad for those people.
Yeah.
Because they're getting less oxygen already.
There's still a couple of, there's still a TB building in Socorro County.
Really?
Yeah. By the state police building. Mm. It's a little small building where they kept some TB patients.
Memorial Hospital is now a fancy hotel here, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that used to be the TB hospital.
Yes. So let's go there and have some cocktails.
On the roof. Okay. So now he has no mom and no dad.
And I read somewhere that she may be buried in Silver City. I'm wondering if anybody ever went to go look to see if there's actually like a headstone or anything.
Maybe we should go and check it out.
Would the headstone say, what would it say? Her last name would have been not McCarty.
McCarty? Bonnie would be her maiden name.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, and she was from Ireland, right?
Sure.
I think we said that last time.
Okay. I don't remember.
I feel like that was a thing.
Okay. So he's orphaned now. He's 15 years old. And there's a rumor that by the age of 17, he had already murdered somebody in a fight. But there's no really additional information about who he potentially killed or what the argument was about. So who knows? Some people claim that story isn't true as well. But it is important to understand that he was basically on his own from the age of 15, and he was forced to adapt to survival mode, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously got into some trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, he can't... I mean, he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any family now. He's in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what happened to his brother.
That's true, yeah.
That's interesting.
It's so weird.
Nobody cares about Billy's brother. So at this time...
He's the other Baldwin. Alec and his brother.
He's the ugly Hemsworth.
Wait, is there one?
Yeah, I mean, he's not ugly, but...
Not as Hemsworthy as the others.
So at this time, New Mexico was a dangerous and wild place. It had just achieved status as a U.S. territory in 1850, which led to explosive growth as more trails were being forged to the new territory. The population of the territory tripled from 1850 to 1900, and this brought a whole bunch of challenges to the area. One of the biggest challenges was the lack of law enforcement. And as you probably know, Lydia, New Mexico is kind of one of those places that continues to be difficult to police in terms of crime just because of how much space there is. Mm-hmm. You look at a county like Socorro County, which is gigantic. You've got one sheriff department for that gigantic county. It can be challenging. So I can't imagine that it would be even worse back then when there were less people here. So what ends up happening is a bunch of people are like, hey, this is pretty cool. There's nobody telling us what to do. Let's start a gang.
You're not the boss of me. I'm going to New Mexico to start a gang.
So they created all these crime syndicates, which basically started controlling all of the small towns in New Mexico. I say crime syndicates, but it was really just people with money who had influence and control over the political and social lives of people in these small remote towns, which I think probably still happens to a certain extent sometimes.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I mean, where we're from, is there's definitely some corruption.
Oh, yeah. It's very much who you know.
Yeah, it is. So in order to make it in this wild territory, Billy had to be creative. So guess what he did?
He started a TikTok following.
Yes.
Yes.
He became TikTok famous. And then he started doing makeup tutorials on YouTube. No, he started stealing. He found that petty crime was a quick way to make cash, so he learned how to rustle horses and cows.
Horse rustler.
Horse rustler, which made
him... Not a horse whisperer.
No, very different.
Hey, horse, are you hungry?
I'm going to steal you.
I'm a horse whisperer.
This made him valuable to the small gangs that roam New Mexico, causing trouble for local ranchers and farmers, and... Lydia, in case you didn't know what horse rustling and cattle rustling is, it's an old way of saying that he stole livestock from ranchers.
Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
For explaining.
I'm always happy to mansplain for you.
Thank you. But you need to spread your legs apart further when you're going to do that. You need to take up more space.
Actually, it seems that as a young boy in the Wild West, he didn't have many options. So this was how he was able to survive. He became so good at rustling cattle that he developed a reputation for it, and he was well known as well for his talent with a gun.
Pew, I can imagine how devastating a loss of even a couple of cattle could be to a rancher.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a whole lot out here in New Mexico, so a couple heads of cattle, that's prime beef territory right there.
Yeah, and I mean, it probably would be difficult because then you have to wait for more cows to be born before you replenish that livestock anyway. And I think that, you know, I don't know anything about ranching. I've never ranched before. I think you're probably closer to a rancher than I am.
Why? Because I've ridden on a pig a couple times.
Well, didn't you have like horses and
yeah.
chickens and shit?
Yeah. Ducks. Yeah.
Ducks.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Pigs.
Yeah. So you're
goats.
Basically a farmer.
Basically.
Except you didn't probably do anything with them.
No. No. Well, I mean, we did like 4-H and then they'd be butchered, but.
Not the horses.
No,
okay.
Not in the U.S.
People are
not really into horse meat here for some reason.
So he was said to be an excellent shot. And as I've said before, New Mexico is giant in terms of landmass. And there are many places for people to hide, cover up their crimes. And some towns and counties back then didn't even have a sheriff. Or if they did, the sheriff might not have had deputies to help enforce the law. It was just like one dude saying... Hey.
Hey.
Cut it out.
Hey. Oh,
knock it off.
Okay, stop.
Keep going then.
A lot of tumbleweeds going down the town and then people firing at him. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Billy's stealing their horses.
But we got more creative now here in New Mexico with tumbleweeds. Now we turn them into snowmen.
Yeah. Off of the Big Eye.
So we learned a lot in the past.
We've come a long way technologically and emotionally and spiritually. Okay. So because there was so little oversight in many of these communities, people would often do whatever they could to grab any power possible. And one example of this was a group that would be essentially what we would consider today to be the mob or mafia. They took control of the small town of Lincoln, which I was just there. And it's really cool. I sent you some of those pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. One such mob was known as, quote, the House, and they were part of a corrupt takeover of the county.
That's such a badass name.
The House.
We're the House.
Yeah. The House was awarded many government contracts to supply beef to the military, as well as local reservations. It's believed that much of what the House acquired to sell was stolen. So
I'm pretty sure that stuff still happens today.
It's on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, like all these like back channel government contracts. Yeah. I mean, come on.
They had full control of the sheriff's office, and they used that control to force ranchers to sell low, while also paying the House higher costs for ranching supplies.
Buy low, sell high.
Right. They flipped the script.
Flip it. They were not the Gordon Gekko.
No.
Wait.
What?
Gordon Gekko from the 80s when he's like, buy. This is Wall Street. This is how you make money in the modern era. Look at this giant computer I have. I never actually saw that movie, but I feel like that's what it's about.
The sheriff and his posse would enforce the actions of the House with violence and arrests. So if ranchers were like, no, dude, I'm not going to sell this for such a cheap price and I'm not going to pay your high ass prices, the sheriff would be like, yeah, you know what? You're in jail now, bitch. Now what?
Right. Or we're going to kill you.
Right.
So there's no winning.
Yes.
The ranchers just had to comply.
They just had to deal with it. One of the main ringleaders of the House was a man named James Dolan.
Oh, James Dolan. His mom, she was from County Mayo.
His mom. James was born in Galway County,
next to County Mayo.
Ireland in 1848. When he was a boy, he immigrated to the U.S. and would eventually join the Union Army in the Civil War. He later moved to Fort Stanton in New Mexico and was eventually discharged from the Army because he attempted to shoot a captain.
The U.S. saw a huge influx of Irish immigrants during the potato famine, and a lot of them went on to serve in the Union Army.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched a movie called Black 47, which is about the potato famine and just how awful the British Empire was to the people of Ireland. Mm-hmm. It's so sad. Anyway, it's a really good movie, and they speak a lot of Gaelic in it.
Cool. I have some Irish listeners, so
shout out.
Okay, so he was removed from the fort and discharged from the army because I guess you can't shoot your captain.
Whatever. I mean, again, this was the Wild West, okay? It's to be expected.
James and his posse became a problem for local business owners in Lincoln County. They used their influence with the sheriff's office to control and gain competitive advantage in the area. The sheriff became, like I said, their enforcement, and one of the ways they controlled people was through ensuring that everyone was in debt to the House.
Oh.
So they even made the sheriff go into debt to the House.
So he could never turn his back on the system he became a pawn for.
It's so shady.
Super shady.
Right? Like, oh yeah, here's some money.
But now, I feel like a lot of that stuff still goes on. I mean, how many times do we hear about, like, cops who totally get busted planting evidence on people?
And right, or evidence disappearing.
Yeah, evidence disappearing.
Well, you could have went to the doctor and got cocaine for the ghosts in your blood at this time, so.
Yeah, well, and I'm a woman, so they've been like, you're hysterical.
Here's some leeches,
and
okay, so they would use the debt to manipulate people into carrying out their wishes, and the House was suspected of being connected to the Santa Fe Ring, which was also controlling the territory of New Mexico from a business and political standpoint. And in the New Mexico Journey textbook, they describe the ring as, quote, ringleaders were corrupt, dishonest, and often resorted to violence. Even some territorial governors were suspected of being members or friends of the Santa Fe Ring. Few challenged the power of the Santa Fe Ring, end quote.
all the head honchos were in Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it was corrupt as shit.
Fuck yeah.
And nobody gave a crap about anything. Mm-mm. Just power and money.
Yeah. And
I
mean, land.
It makes sense. I don't know who built the streets in Santa Fe, but it's a mess.
It is a mess.
That city doesn't make any sense.
We're going to take a quick break. I'd like to thank today's sponsor, Podcorn, for sponsoring this episode. Check out sponsorship opportunities and start monetizing your podcast today by signing up at podcorn.com/podcasters. Podcorn is an easy way to monetize your podcast. For me, it was a no-brainer. You see, Podcorn makes it super easy to work with sponsors. They have a marketplace that allows you to interact with potential sponsors, which is super intuitive to use. I've been working with Podcorn for about 6 months now, and I've already had 5 different show sponsors. With Podcorn, there's no middleman, and doesn't matter how big your podcast is, I'm able to set my own rates and work directly with sponsors. The best part is, you don't lose any of the rights to your show, and Podcorn supports you the entire time. With the marketplace, you have access to brands, and Podcorn provides transparency, creative freedom, and full control of how and when you have ads in your show. Click the link in my show notes to sign up for Podcorn today and find the perfect sponsorship for you. That's podcorn.com/podcasts. Another leader of the house was Lawrence Murphy.
Oh, Lawrence Murphy. Are you familiar with his mom?
Murphy was born in 1831 in County Wexford, Ireland.
County Wexford. It's a little north of County Mayo. I don't know.
You don't know. He moved to the U.S. as an adult and enlisted in the U.S. Army straight away. He was in the Army during the Civil War on the Union side and was not involved in direct combat. Murphy moved to Lincoln County and started the L.G. Murphy & Co., which was the only mercantile business at the time in Lincoln County. He used his connections in the military to get government contracts. He would be the primary beef supplier, as well as many other items that he supplied to the U.S. Army. He was known as an ally to the Santa Fe Ring.
An ally.
Yep.
So maybe not as big of a player, but he was definitely a friend.
Right. He was like an affiliate. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his gang was basically connected, but not necessarily run by the ring.
He knew the right people.
Mm-hmm. So because of this, the ring remained unchallenged and the house remained unchallenged for many years in Lincoln County until a man named John Tunstall showed up in Lincoln County.
Oh, John Tunstall.
Well, he was not Irish.
He was a Brit.
He was a Brit.
He served under Her Highness's Royal Army.
Did he?
No, I don't know.
Okay. So he was born in 1853 outside of London, England. He grew up in an upper middle class family. His dad was a businessman who conducted business in the UK and Canada. And he moved to Canada when he was 19 years old and then moved again when he was 24 to the United States.
He was well traveled.
Yes. And he originally wanted to move to California, but quickly decided that New Mexico was a better option because there was more land available and it was much less expensive. Which is still how it is.
You go down to Socorro County, you buy 40 acres for $3,000.
You could buy a mansion for $200,000.
Yeah, seriously.
So he purchased a ranch in Lincoln County after a chance meeting with a lawyer named Alexander McSween. John and McSween would eventually become business partners and friends. John purchased the Rio Feliz Ranch in Lincoln County. Tunstall eventually set up a mercantile shop in the town of Lincoln. He found himself in direct competition with the house. Okay. So when I went there, like, I knew that the mercantile that John set up was across the street, but I didn't realize that it was, like, exactly across the street from the Murphy mercantile.
Like, they directly faced each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So that takes some balls.
Yeah. It's so cool that those buildings are still standing.
Yeah.
Because that's something that, like, the Southwest, we don't have a lot of. Yeah. We don't have a lot of those buildings preserved anymore for whatever reason. It's not like Boston where you throw a penny and everyone's like, oh yeah, this house was built in 17 blah, blah, blah. And it's just still here. We live in it. That's not really common out here.
Yeah. Well, and I was surprised. Driving through there, I felt like they did preserve a lot of what the town probably looked like back then. And I'll post some of those pictures on my Facebook and Instagram for the show notes. But it's pretty interesting. They definitely look like an old west.
Oh, yeah.
setting. It's almost like a movie set. It's kind of weird.
It's beautiful out there.
It's gorgeous. And his shop was across the street from the Dolan's mercantile shop. And obviously this created a huge conflict between the ring, the house, and John.
So it's like Bob's Burgers, where Jimmy Pesto stands outside and Bob Belcher stands outside and they just yell at each other.
Yes.
Screw you, Jimmy.
Except with a lot more gunfighting.
Yes. Yes. And a lot more Irish accents, which I guess is cooler.
Yeah, that is cooler.
Yeah, it is. I really, 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 really want to buy like a haunted Irish castle. Mm. So if any of your listeners are selling one.
So my family has a Scottish castle. Does that count?
Yeah, no. I will take it.
Okay. Well, we have to go kick out whoever lives there now.
Easy. Let's do it.
Okay. I mean, all we have to say is get out. I'm sure they'll just be like, they'll be like, oh, okay.
What are they, squatters? Do you even know who they are?
This is my family castle.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's done out there.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, this is my family's estate, right?
Yeah, exactly. So John intended to provide better prices to ranchers and give the people of Lincoln County more options, which led to him being very successful. And totally fucked over Dolan and Murphy. He used his charm and charisma, as well as the undercutting of prices, to lure the people of Lincoln County over to his store and to his favor. He became more popular, and his mercantile became more successful than the house. And they were pissed off about it. So, the house mercantile shop went into bankruptcy. And they were like, this dude has got to go. So they started harassing him in an attempt to get him to close down his shop. And when that didn't work, they decided to hire someone to kill him.
Oh, dang.
So they hired a gang known as the Boys.
That's not as cool.
Mm-mm.
We're the Boys.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just the more literal of the convicts, the criminals.
You know what I think of whenever I hear that? I think of like West Side Story.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all like snapping. Yeah. Nobody's scared of them. I'm sure that they were scary and intimidating. So the Boys were led by a man named Jesse Evans, and he invited Billy the Kid to be a part of this gang. So Billy's helping them out. They're going around the state, robbing people, cattle rustling, doing all this stuff. And that's how Billy got into this whole thing.
I don't know that they would be considered intimidating today. I mean, everyone was malnourished and short back then.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine a bunch of scrawny, pale guys, 5'5" and under. They weigh like 80 pounds. And, you know, yeah, they have guns.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it took a long time to like load your bullets just, and like, stuff.
Having to put the gunpowder in yourself.
They probably just would not be very intimidating today, you know, especially after we discovered like growth hormones and stuff like that.
So there are many reports that paint John Tunstall as a benevolent and kind person. In movies, he's often portrayed as the only person willing to stand up to the house in the ring. And he's even been described as fatherly, as like a father figure to Billy. He was 24 years old when all this was happening. So
come here, Billy. Come sit on my lap. Let me tell you a story.
He's only 7 years older than Billy. Everybody needs to calm down.
It's like when, you know, your dad marries a much younger woman.
She's not my real mom. And she never will be.
Dad, I went to high school with her. This may or may not have happened to me.
There are other reports that he was trying to replace the house with his own group of people. And there are accounts of him attempting to get rich no matter the cost. I'm not sure what to believe, especially since, like I said, I wasn't alive back then. But I'm sure some combination of these accounts is probably the truth. And on the Facebook page about Billy the Kid, there's a post that states, quote, or the fact is, Tunstall wanted to form his own ring and his own house. In a letter to his father in England, he writes, my ring is forming faster than I've ever hoped, and in such a way that I will get the finest plum of the lot. And always providing that I can make my points, which up to now I have done successfully, I propose to confine my operations to Lincoln County. But I intend to handle it in such a way as to get the half of every dollar that is made in the county by anyone.
I mean, that takes a lot of cojones that he's so proud of being a criminal, this budding criminal. Dear Dad.
Yeah, so I'm sure that, like, the people and the ranchers in Lincoln County were grateful for him, and I'm sure they saw him as like a good person. But it seems like his motivation was definitely very greed-driven.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was just out for themselves.
Yeah. It seems that Tunstall might not have been as benevolent as he's portrayed in books and movies. He had a motive similar to Dolan and Murphy. He was just more charismatic and friendly. So he was more well-liked. Okay, so this feud between the house and Tunstall is starting to reach a boiling point. The boys ride into town with none other than Billy the Kid. Jesse Evans was friends with Dolan and the house. And Billy started to distance himself from the boys. He was like, this shit is shady as fuck. Because he started to make friends in Lincoln.
I'm making new friends, okay? I don't want to hang out with just the boys.
You guys aren't the boss of me. Billy and the boys were working on rustling up cattle from the Tunstall Ranch. They were caught. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. Billy was caught and arrested. The rest of the gang managed to get away. Billy was then given an offer by Tunstall that was very hard for him to refuse. Oh, he invited Billy to turn on the boys and provide witness testimony on Tunstall's behalf and work for him. If he did it, he was going to allow Billy to be freed from jail. His other option would just to be jailed for as long as it took for him to get convicted of stealing Tunstall's cows. Mm. So he decided to take the deal and started working for Tunstall. Soon, Billy was part of a new posse called the Regulators.
Regulators!
Mount up.
Round up.
It's mount up.
Oh, but it makes more sense round up for this scenario.
For this scenario. Okay, so Warren G shows up. Nate Dogg's there with his, like, really deep voice. Everybody's happy. Okay. So Billy was quickly accepted by the Regulators. They liked him because he was easy to get along with and calm under pressure and a really good shot.
You're just a really good guy.
Just a good guy all around. Meanwhile, the house was even more committed to taking John Tunstall out of the picture. And on February 1878, Tunstall and his posse were moving horses from the Tunstall Ranch into the town of Lincoln when they were met by Sheriff Brady and his deputies. Brady's men began firing at the group, and a gunfight ensued.
Oh, wait. No, just pew, pew, pew.
Tunstall was killed in the firefight, and his body was staged to make it look like he had died by self-defense, basically.
See, this stuff still happens today.
Yeah.
Where people are staging crimes.
100%. They fired his gun and placed it near his body, and this single action against Tunstall would lead to a massive conflict later known as the Lincoln County War.
Dang.
Yep. Brady and his men were serving a warrant to seize Tunstall's livestock, but after everything was said and done, they'd only managed to kill him. And the livestock were just left there on the trail. So it seems very clear that their only intention was to murder him.
Ugh.
And I was surprised, but where John Tunstall was shot is like in the mountains near Ruidoso.
Hmm.
I went to go check that out too.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's just like some random spot in the woods.
And it's marked?
Mm-hmm. There's like a little dedicated plaque, the spot of John Tunstall's death.
Do we know where he's buried?
I don't know, but I can Google that. The reason the sheriff had the court order was because Tunstall's business partner and lawyer, Alexander McSween, refused to give an insurance payout to the house from the death of one of their partners. The house sued McSween, and the court mistakenly included Tunstall's assets in the court order, which goes to show that Brady and his crew were completely set on killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that several of Tunstall's men had seen what happened and how Brady's men killed John and tried to cover up the crime. They're just like in the bushes.
Hey, I see you. No, no. They're like, we're not saying anything.
Don't say anything.
Shh, I'm a horse whisperer.
So they decided they were going to get revenge against Brady and his men. And they went to the Justice of the Peace and they asked to be deputized to bring in John's murderers. Brady found out about this and instead arrested the Regulators to prevent them from executing the warrants against his men. The Regulators were released from jail and promptly began searching for John Tunstall's killers. And they found some of them just outside of Cloudcroft. Beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gunfight. Men were apprehended and they were starting to take them back to Lincoln. On the way back, they're like, you know what? We're just going to fucking kill these guys. So they just killed them near the Blackwater Creek on March 9th, 1878. So they were basically just not going to even try to bring him in to jail them. Two more accomplices were found outside of Tularosa, and they were shot as well. One died and one was gravely injured. So Sheriff Brady must have been shitting his britches at this point.
Well, I mean, I'm sure everyone had dysentery.
So. Right.
Cannot stop thing.
Everyone's shitting all the time. All his co-conspirators had either been shot dead or seriously wounded, so he decided to go to the ring for help. He asked the Attorney General, Thomas Catron, and Catron enlisted the assistance of the governor of the territory named Samuel Axtell.
That's a badass last name.
It is.
Axtell.
Axtell declared the justice of the peace, deputized the regulators illegally, which invalidated his warrants against Brady's men.
It's just all so messy. Like, this is just so complicated.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's not surprising at all that New Mexico was like this, because it's still like this. This also meant that the killings of Brady's men was now considered illegal, when they were actually considered legal prior to this. And now the regulators are wanted for murder.
So it's just all of these rival gangs going to their legal allies.
Yeah.
And trying to enforce like illegal things on each other.
Yes, exactly. The toll of this war became so intense that President Hayes appointed a new governor to the territory. Governor Lew Wallace was appointed to put an end to the war. He took control of the territory and in 1878, and it's believed that he even went to Lincoln on March 5th to meet with both sides of the war, but this didn't do anything to stop the violence. So on April 1st, the regulators, including Billy, hid out behind Tunstall's Mercantile in a horse corral. They waited to make their move. As soon as they saw Brady, they ambushed him and his deputies on the main street, and Brady was killed by multiple gunshot wounds. One of Brady's deputies, George Hinman, was also killed in the fight, and the regulators were so determined to get their justice that they headed to a nearby sawmill after murdering Brady to find another murderer, another one of Tunstall's murderers. They killed him, but also one of their regulators was killed and several were wounded in the gunfight. Mm. And this violence was just like nonstop. Everyone's killing everybody. There were many more battles between the regulators and members of the House, and it all came to a head on July 15th, 1878. The regulators found themselves surrounded by Dolan's forces in Lincoln. This would later be known as the Battle of Lincoln. The regulators and Billy hid in Alexander McSween's house with McSween and his wife. There was a standoff for multiple days, which consisted mostly of both groups just yelling at each other.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to conserve their resources.
Hey, you!
Hey, you're an asshole!
I hate you! Yeah, well, I hate you too!
Your mother eats kitty litter in hell.
All right, so the group seemed to be at an impasse, and that remained until the arrival of the U.S. Army. Once the Army showed up, several members of the regulators abandoned their hideout and ran. On July 19th, the Army set McSween's home on fire. They evacuated the women and children. Billy and several others made a plan to use gunfire to distract Dolan's men as they attempted to escape. McSween and one other man were killed as they attempted to flee the burning home. This signaled the end of the Lincoln County War, and nobody won. It lasted for 3 years and led to multiple deaths. The whole conflict boiled down to two corrupt factions trying to gain control of the small town of Lincoln. Billy and the surviving regulators were on the run and were being tracked by the new sheriff, Pat Garrett. Governor Lew Wallace made a proclamation denouncing the war, and Billy wrote a letter to the governor that said, quote, "I have no wish to fight anymore. Indeed, I have not raised an arm since your proclamation." And the governor wrote him back. He said,
"Dear Billy,
quote, "I have the authority to exempt you from prosecution if you will testify to what you know." So, it turns out that after that letter, there was a secret meeting between Governor Wallace and Billy the Kid on March 17, 1879. And it's believed that Billy was again promised immunity for testifying. So he's like, fuck yeah, man, I'm going to go do this shit. He testified in front of a grand jury and totally ratted out around 50 men for murder.
It sounds shady as shit, but it sounds like he genuinely was just tired of that life.
Yeah.
And you've pointed this out before. Like, he was still so young.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, for all I know, he was a giant asshole, but...
Well, I think he was trying to make do with his life and, you know, his circumstances and do the best he could. And mm-hmm. I do definitely have some sympathy for him from that perspective. But he was a murderer. So I'm sure that ratting out 50 people made him super popular. he probably was voted homecoming king.
Now with them chompers.
With that grill. Yeah. I'm sure everybody had the same kind of teeth, right? Like, dental work wasn't really a thing back then. Like,
yeah.
Not like it is now.
Well, you could have been just blessed with nice teeth like I do.
Maybe he had wooden braces.
No, I don't think so. His teeth were jacked.
So he had only completely testified against these people because he was promised a pardon. So he's like, they take him back to his holding cell after his testimony, and he's like, cool, I'm going to be out of here pretty soon, so I'm just going to hang out and enjoy my cheese sandwich and water.
I don't got any cheese.
And my orange Crocs. the district attorney decided that he was going to ignore the governor and continue to prosecute Billy for his crimes. And the governor was like, all right, go ahead, prosecute him. So Billy started to figure out that his life was no longer safe as the days went on. He's like, nobody's going to let me out of here.
Guys.
It's dark in here.
It's dark in here.
So he broke out of jail and decided to flee Lincoln County and go on the run. Governor Wallace then put a bounty on Billy the Kid, promising $500 to anyone who provided information that led to his capture.
That would have been a hell of a lot of money.
It's about $13,000 in today's money. So that's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. And as you can imagine, that's enough to get people interested in trying to find him and trying to bring him in. So he's on the run for a year and a half. He's all over the place. And there are reported sightings of him in random places. He's kind of like, remember in like the 80s and 90s when everyone thought they saw Elvis?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like that. So people said they saw him in New York City, in California. But more likely of a story is that he probably just stayed around New Mexico.
Yeah. He probably never left.
He stayed pretty quiet and under the radar until he got into a fight with a man named Joe Grant, whom Billy later killed. The Santa Fe Weekly covered the case and stated that there was no indication of what led to the incident, but this is all building to a pretty epic showdown. So Billy joins up with another group of men. They start roaming around the state. In December of 1880, they decide to roll up into Fort Sumner, where Pat Garrett and his posse were waiting for them. Mm. One of the guys Billy's was killed in the gunfight, and the rest of the crew were able to escape Pat Garrett's clutches. Garrett eventually caught up with Billy in Stinking Springs, New Mexico, where he and his crew were arrested and taken to Las Vegas and eventually Fort Sumner.
Is there still a Stinking Springs?
Yes, it's just off of Highway 491 south of Shiprock.
So, I mean, it must be because of the sulfur and what do we call it, hot springs that we have in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. That must be what's causing them to stink.
Yeah.
Ooh, Stinking Springs.
So the men arrived in Fort Sumner the day after Christmas. They were transported to Santa Fe, at which time Billy sent four letters to the governor being all like, yo, bro, you said you had my back. Not exactly like that, but that's what I would have said.
Yeah.
But he was asking him to hold true to his word and his promise of a pardon.
You promised me.
He's real whiny, like a toddler. The governor refused to do anything to help Billy, so Billy was tried and found guilty of murdering Sheriff Brady, and he was sentenced to hang.
Ugh.
His hanging was set for May 13th, 1881, but on April 28th, he convinced one of the guards to let him use the outhouse. He hid in a blind corner, slipped out of his cuffs, and then beat the shit out of the guard with the cuffs. He then grabbed the guard's gun, shot him in the back, and then freed himself from his shackles. He broke into Pat Garrett's office, stole his shotgun, shot another guard, and then stole a horse and rode off into the night or day or whatever.
So he didn't take a dump in Pat Garrett's office? Because they were friends prior to all
they
this.
They were friends. Yeah, talk about that.
Prior to Pat Garrett becoming sheriff, they were poker buddies. I don't know how close they were, but there's actually a tintype photograph that was found at a flea market of the two of them posing next to each other.
Throwing down.
Yeah, allegedly, when Pat Garrett expressed interest in becoming a sheriff, he knew that his entanglements with people like Billy the Kid would probably become problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So he allegedly told Billy, you need to leave the New Mexico territory, and I won't pursue you if you do. If you just leave willingly. And Billy did not take him up on that offer. So they were no longer friends, obviously.
He's like, no thanks. I'm going to keep doing what I do.
Right.
So he escaped, and he was free for about 3 months. And then Garrett went to Fort Sumner to question a friend of Billy on July 14th, 1881. And while sitting in the dark with Billy's friend, Billy entered the home, and when he spoke, Garrett recognized his voice. So he just started randomly shooting in the dark. And one of those bullets hit Billy. He was shot near the heart. The coroner later confirmed that it was indeed the body of William H. Bonney. And conveniently, Garrett received a $500 bounty from Governor Wallace and was even given more money that was raised by cities in New Mexico. Billy was 21 when he died.
It's interesting that there's, I did read that there's a lot of inconclusive information about why Pat Garrett went to that place. I read that some people think that he and Billy's friend collaborated together to basically jump Billy, you know, mm-hmm. surprise him. And then some people say that it was just Pat Garrett being a detective and trying to find him and going mm-hmm. to places he thought he would be. So, I mean, it's interesting to think about what actually happened if Billy was actually betrayed by one of his bros.
Sure. So finally, there were rumors for decades that Billy hadn't been killed, but instead was living his best life in New Mexico. Maybe he had highlights. Maybe he got his nails did. We don't know. But there were reported sightings all over the place. None of that had ever been proven. And there were even people who came forward later claiming to be Billy the Kid. It's hard to know if any of these people were actually him or just trying to get some quick fame. But that is the not-so-sexy version of Billy the Kid's story.
Yeah, and you could go and visit his grave mm-hmm. where he is reported to be buried. I mean, he definitely didn't, you know, die in the most romantic of ways. And he wasn't buried in the most illustrious of ways either. He is sharing a burial space with two of his gang members. Mm-hmm. And that grave site has been washed away several times in flooding. So it's hard to know who is who. But they did end up having to seal the entire grave site with like a giant slab of concrete because so many people would try to go and dig up Billy the Kid.
Do you think that he didn't die that day?
No, I'm pretty sure he died.
Okay.
You know, I think it's interesting that there aren't a lot of images. There's probably maybe about 5 confirmed images of him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about for the time, that's actually quite a significant number that somebody took the time to photograph him at least 5 times.
Especially for somebody who's running around like causing mayhem and havoc everywhere he
right,
goes.
Right. And he clearly was not somebody who hid from, I mean, he would pop up. So I don't believe that he faked his death or staged yeah. his death.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I had fun learning about this. I'm glad that you're here to go through this with me. So I'm not doing this by myself.
Yeah, it's super scary.
You'll probably hear Lydia again in the season.
In your dreams.
And in your nightmares.
My erotic fan fiction will hit the station soon.
What is the erotic fan fiction about? I'm going to regret asking this question. I know it.
Just a lot of Captain America stuff.
Lydia has a thing for Chris Evans.
I do. He's such a dreamboat.
All right, everybody. Well, I am so happy to be back with season 3 of Consequences. If you want to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/trueconsequences. You can go to ko.fi/trueconsequences. If you don't want to give a monthly gift and you just want to do like a one-time, here's some money, shut the hell up, Eric.
One-time lump sum.
That would be great.
$3 million or an Irish castle or a hot Irish studly man to give me a tour of said castle.
Your support means so much to me and it helps me continue to produce this show. Check out the Butterless Podcasters Guild and all the amazing shows that are on there. We're adding new members every day and it's cool. Support your local podcasts. Share them. Tell your friends about them. Harass them until they listen.
That usually works.
Yeah.
And if any of your listeners do find their way to New Mexico, check out the St. James Hotel in Cimarron, New Mexico. It's a historic old Western hotel where Billy the Kid is reported to have stayed or at least gambled at. And many other Southwest well-known names like the Earp Brothers and that sort of thing. And Andy Oakley are said to have stayed there. And they still have bullet holes in the ceilings. And it's haunted.
Ooh.
And it's beautiful.
Well, maybe Alex and I will have to cover that on Dos Pequeños. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And stay safe, New Mexico.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to True Consequences. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at True Consequences Pod and on Twitter at True Cons Pod. True Consequences is listener supported. If you'd like to support this one-man show, please go to patreon.com/True Consequences. Thanks for listening and stay safe, New Mexico.